glorified, to be honored continually in everything that is said and done here today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. If you have your Bible and you'd open it up to 1 Peter chapter 5, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to share just something, just a moment, and we're going to partake in communion. And it's going to be just a beautiful time here, just for a few moments. I had this story this week that I wanted to share, and it's about fog. And I got up this morning, and I'm like every pastor does, he looks out the window to see what the weather is. And as it began to get light out, I looked, and it looked like, is it snowing? No, it's not snowing. It's fog out there this morning. And it was so cool because I thought, God, you confirm your word. And I knew right then and there. You know, sometimes I share God's word and I wonder, Lord, is this really what you want? I want to do what you want. But when you get an obvious confirmation like that, I thought, this is for someone this morning. So let me open up and I want to read this story and then I'm going to go to the scripture. It was a fog-shrouded morning in July 4th, 1952, when a young woman named Florence Chadwick waded into the water off Catalina Island, Catalina Island being off the coast of California. She intended to swim the channel from the island to the California coast. Long-distance swimming was not new to her. She had been the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. The water was numbing cold that day. The fog was so thick she could hardly see the boats in her party. Several times, sharks had to be driven away with rifle fire, and she swam more than 15 hours before she asked to be taken out of the water. Her trainer tried to encourage her to swim on since they were so close to land, but when Florence looked, all she saw was the fog, so she quit. Only 1 mile from her finish. Later, she said, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen the land, I might have made it. It wasn't the cold or fear or the exhaustion that caused Florence to fail. It was the fog. And many times, too, we fail, not because we're afraid of anything other than the fact that we lose sight of our finish line. And I read that and I thought, what a powerful little story that is, because many of us, we lose sight of the vision, of the goal, of the finish line that God has called us to because of fog getting in our way, because of something clouding up our sight ahead of us of where we're going. I want to encourage someone today that no matter what has come into your life and caused that cloud, that fog, that today I pray that through the word of God, through the gospel of Jesus, that you will come out of that cloud. You will come out of that fog today and you will see what and who God is in your life and where he wants you to go. Amen? And the scripture says in 1 Peter 5, I'm going to read in verse 6 out of the New American Standard Bible. And the only thing we're going to have up on the screens today is the scripture itself. Because I really want you to hone in. I want you to listen. You could write down a couple things if you want. But I'm only going to be a couple moments, so listen. He said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. You know, the reality of it is that some people think because they're Christians that they're never, ever going to go through a period of trial or suffering in their life. And the truth is, and I've said this before, that you're either in the middle of something or you're getting ready or just coming out of a challenge or a mountain in your life. I was, when Patty and I were praying together this morning, I was just reminded, it wasn't much less than a year ago that her and I got that news of that cancer had struck our home and our family. And I thought about suffering, but I thought immediately, God is faithful. He's going to help us through that because, you know, there's really, in essence, there's no other way to look or there's no other direction that you and I can go in life but to the Lord and to the power of His Word. And this whole thought process, it's what is referred to as a theodicy. It's the idea that good people also go through bad things. They go through struggles. And even when we don't understand why, and even when it just comes up and it blindsides us, we must trust in Him in the midst of it. We can't lean unto our own understanding. We can't depend on just us. We have to depend on the God in heaven who says He is more than enough to see us through to the other side. And the scripture in 1 Peter gives you and I some insight on this. And I just want to read this to you. And I want to pick out just a couple thoughts in the midst of this. And then we're going to share communion together. The first part of it is in 1 Peter 5, 6. He says, humble yourselves that He may exalt you. There is a call here to humility. That when you and I are going through life, we must know that without God, we can do nothing. Not a thing. Come on, and God has been so good to you and I that there is no room in our life where arrogance can find its home. There's no room in our lives where we can go and say that because I'm so great or I am so good, I got to where I am today. That is a slippery slope, my brothers and my sisters. And remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago about out of 1 John 2. Where the Bible says, don't love the world nor anything in the world. And if anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he says, these are the three things that are in the world. He says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And then he brings that great statement in there. And the pride of life. And none of them come from the Father, but they are birthed in the bowels of the world and its system. And if we adhere to that, it'll only take us down a dark and narrow road. And no matter how good you have become at something, you still must not let arrogance and pride become a part of who you are. Because if you do, it will keep you from your destiny. The Bible says in one scripture that God, He even sets Himself against the proud, against the prideful. And our heart is that we must stay humble because then and only then, the Bible says, will God lift us up. Can I tell you today that if you'll keep Christ first in your life and you'll keep a pride in check and stay living with a humble heart, that God will use that and launch you into your destiny. And I've met people that have lived with a prideful heart and they stay in the same place day in, day out, week in, week out, month, year after year because their pride will not loose them to be humble before the Lord and let Him lead them into their destiny. Come on, my brothers and my sisters, you have to keep an attitude of humility building in your heart all the time. And if you sense yourself ever getting to the place where, oh, I'm good, I'm bad, I'm all of that, you better check yourself in and let God help you in that area. Come on, are you here today with me? And then he goes on to say in verse 7, you need to cast your anxiety, or King James says, all your cares on Him because He cares for you. The enemy, no matter what, would like you to think that if you've got anxiety in your life, that you've got to deal with that on your own. That some way you can fix it. That some way you can make it better. You can make it right in your own strength. And I want to encourage you today that I don't care who it is or what you're good at or not good at. The only way that God says you can get anxiety, you can get the weights of this world off of you, is to cast that on Jesus. The cure for your dilemma today is not holding on to it. The cure for your dilemma is casting it on Him. The little Greek word is hyperipito. It means to throw it aside. And I brought a little prop in here to help you and I just understand that. Chuck felt bad. Chuck's not here now. Garrett, I need you to come. Where did Chuck go? He gave me a hard time because I didn't throw it to him in the first service. The Bible says to cast it on him. It doesn't say to drop it, because if you drop it, you'll stumble and actually you'll see it so close to you, you'll want to pick it up again. We have cares in our lives, cares in our home, cares with our family, our children, our spouses, cares from a job. Maybe we're going through something. The Bible says if you want God to deal with it, you can't just drop it or lay it down. The Bible said, back up. Well, I'm stronger than you think I am. You got to cast that thing. Now get it out of here. I don't want it anymore. Take it away. Come on, get it out of here. Give him a big hand. You got to cast it away. And some of you need to get good at that. Some of you are good at holding on to the junk in your life, thinking that you are the answer. Can I tell you something today? You are not the answer to your problem. Jesus is the answer to your problem. Cast that care upon him today. And then he says you got to counter the enemy. We talked about this last Thursday night when Hector Santos was here. What a powerful word he gave. And you can listen to all these messages online at thecitychurch.com. But you got to learn to counter the enemy. The Bible says in verse 8, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Don't be asleep. Don't be wandering around in the fog. He says your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion. And we've all, you know, we've heard all the messages. He doesn't have any teeth. Let me tell you something. He may not have any teeth, but he is out to bite you with everything he can. And you got to be on the counter to make sure that you don't let him into your home, into your family, into where your children are. And just let him do whatever he wants in your life. And I get so weary when I hear some people say, well, they're just kids and they're going to do what they're going to do. Are you kidding me right now? Of course they're kids. And of course, if we let them do what they want to, they will do what we want to. But like I said, we put a few weeks ago, we put an alarm system on our home so the enemy can't come when we're not there. And some of you need to get an alarm system on your life to protect you from when the enemy comes and you're not watching, he will stop him in his tracks. I shared this in the first service. My boys, they grew up and they said, Dad, you're so hard on us. Dad, how come you don't let us go where everybody else? Dad, why do you think that we're doing this? We're not doing that. They were. They just thought I was dumb and didn't know what they were doing. Amen. But you got to counter him. And then the Bible says you got to resist him. You got to stand firm in the faith. I'm talking to some parents right now. Sometimes parents, you get so weary. How many of you know your kids will wear you down after a while? Come on. You say, oh, Dad, I don't want to do this. Mom, I don't want to do this. You got to stand firm in the faith. You got to make a declaration in your home over their lives, in your house, that you will not let the enemy is not going to come in. He is not going to have any foothold in our home or in our lives. Come on, are you listening to me today? Husbands and wives, moms and dads, stay on the alert. Be awake. Wake up. Don't let the enemy come in. I don't care what culture says. The enemy is out to come in through the door, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and to steal what God wants to give to you. And we can't let that have it. Don't let the enemy roll over you. Don't let him come and take away your stuff. And I want to say this as well. If you've got something in your home that's ungodly, get it out of your house. Some of you need to go in your... Is anybody listening to me today? Can you hear me? You got some junk in your house that shouldn't be there. You need to go through and get rid of it. You need to look and take an inventory. Okay, what have I got? What kind of pictures do I have up on the wall? What kind of stuff do I have laying around my house? What am I watching? What am I let coming in on my television? And make sure that you resist that you will not let that have any part of you. And then lastly, he says in verse 10, That after you have suffered a while, and nobody likes to hear that. We don't want to hear about the suffering. Just tell me something that's going to make me feel good and make me happy. And I can't take this out of the Bible. The Bible says that after you have suffered, but I love how he says it, for a little while. That time, that word means it's only a slot in your life. It doesn't come to stay. It comes so you can have authority over it. The Bible goes on to say that the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself come and perfect and confirm and strengthen and establish you. I'm not much of a baker. I'm a greater cook than I am a baker. And I am a great cook. Thank God, I got one more. I only got one in the first service. I only got one here today. Amen, I'll take what I can get. You're slow. I'm not a good baker because I'm just antsy with the baking. I'm putting it in there. It's going to be 25 minutes. I got the light on. I'm standing there looking at it. I'm ready for that cake. And sometimes I have a tendency to want to pull it out ahead of time. And how many of you know it's all mushy? And then I'll put it in there. And I'll leave it in there too long, and then it gets all crunchy and nasty, and then it's no good. Let me tell you something. When you go through a time of suffering, God will not let you go through one. Somebody ought to get happy when I'm talking about this right now. He will not let you go 1 minute over the time to do what he wants to do in you, to perfect you perfectly. Amen. How many of you ever been through any suffering, and you're like, come on, let me see your hand. God said, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to help you. And then he says, after you have suffered a while, the God of all grace. Let me tell you about that God of all grace. That God of all grace, for some of you, you shouldn't even be sitting here today. For some of you, you took too many drugs, you should have been dead. You drank too much booze, you should have been dead. You did too many things, and we're not even going to talk about, you should be in jail right now. Some of you have gone way too far, and if it was not for the God of all grace coming to your life, my God, where would you be right now? Come on, you ought to clap your hands on that one. The God of all grace. I should be dead. I should be dead myself. I've been in accidents. I went off the road one time racing a brother that is in the church today. I was on my motorcycle, crazy, had left church, and he and I were going to go out and race because I had pride in my life. My motorcycle was faster than his motorcycle. What an arrogant idiot I was. And go off the road at 115 miles an hour on a motorcycle and get up and walk away. Now, my brothers and my sisters, let me tell you something. That's stupid, but that's God's grace covering me. Don't you go out and do that. Think you're going to get away with it. I'll be doing your funeral. But the Bible says this is the four things. I'm going to close on this. It says he'll perfect you. The God of all grace, he'll personally come. He'll pick you up. The word perfect means that he will repair you. He will fix what has been broken in your life. Has anybody ever been broken in here today? God says he'll come. He'll fix it. He'll confirm you. The second thing he'll do, he'll make you, the word means he'll make you stable. He'll make you firm. Some of you, you need to get firm. Some of you, you're just as lucid as can be. You're everywhere. You're just going in 14 different directions. God wants to make you firm today in something. The Bible says he'll strengthen you is the third thing he'll do. He'll make your spirit strong. Some of you need to be strong in your spirit, not just in your muscles, but in your spirit. And the last thing the Bible says that he's going to do, he's going to establish you. That means he's going to ground you. Some of you are not grounded. You're not grounded in anything. You're not doing anything that's going to help your life. You're all over the place. And God says, I want to, after you've suffered, after you've gone through it, I want to ground you now. I want to make you something in your life that will not only help you, it'll establish you and it'll launch you in to the destiny that God has for your life. Amen. Did you receive anything from that this morning? I want those that are going to help with communion, I want you to come down right now. And I believe this morning as we partake in the cup, and the bread, the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's going to be some beautiful things that he's going to do in your life today. Ladies and gentlemen, begin to serve. And when you receive this morning, I want you to hold the bread and hold the cup until we've all been served together, and then we'll partake together. If you're here this morning, you've never given your heart or your life to Jesus, you need to do that right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Some of you need to do business with God right now. You need to ask him, God, forgive me. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my life. Make me a new creature in Christ. Make that your prayer right now as you're receiving the cup and the bread, the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. And then as you're receiving that this morning, I want you to believe God to get you out of the fog, out of your life. Get out of that place. Get out of that stupor. Get out of that, just that cloud that's holding you back and holding you down. And let God lead you into the paths of life. Today, I'm going to read a scripture in just a moment. I want you to believe again for healing in your body. Healing in a loved one today. I want you to believe God for forgiveness. Some of you are carrying stuff in your life. God, he's come to set you free from that. And forgiveness just isn't for yourself this morning. Forgiveness is for someone who has hurt you as well. And then for you to cast off every burden today. Every single one. And trust the Lord with all of your life. With every part of your life today. Thank you, Lord God. When you receive the communion, hold it and we'll partake together.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship you, Lord.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. And nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
The scripture in Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs, he has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. My brothers and my sisters, today, when we're getting ready to partake of the bread, the body of the Lord, I want you to know today, he took that, your transgressions, upon himself. He was bruised for our iniquities. That nature that you have that rises in you that you just do wrong. You don't even know why. Your mind, it wanders in a direction. And you're like, God, why is this happening? Why am I thinking like this? That's an iniquitous nature that has come through your bloodline from generation. Jesus, the Bible says, he was bruised. At the cross, he took the power that can have over your life away today. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. If you're in an array of emotions and you can't sleep and what's going on in my life and everything that happens, it just throws you off. He came at the cross and shed his blood so that you can have peace in your heart and your life today. Ooh, somebody receive that right now. And then I love this. And by his stripes, we are healed. Jesus took bread. The Bible says in the night that he was betrayed, he broke it. He gave thanks. He blessed it. And he said, "This is my body. Take all of it. Each of you. Take it all. Take the power of the gospel. Take what it means to you. Remember what he has done for you this day." Just close your eyes. Just for a moment. Imagine him. I've stood in that upper room in Jerusalem where he did this. Take all of it. Each of you, eat it. As you do, you remember what I've done for you. Let's partake of the body, the bread of the Lord Jesus. Same way he took the cup. "This is my blood." Oh, praise your name, Lord. He shed his blood. Let's never forget the power of the blood of Calvary. He shed his blood. He died for each of us. He took the penalty of your sin, all of your issues. He took them upon himself and he shed his blood. That you and I can live. And he says, "Take, drink this. All of it, each of you. And remember what I've done." His blood is the remission of sin. Comes the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Let's drink the cup together. Thank you, God. Prayer folk, come to the altar. Garrett, we're going to sing that as we leave today. If you have a need of any sort before we leave the house today, I want you to come. These folks will pray over you and bless you and help. Glory to God. Spirit of the living God, we love you. We thank you for your purpose and your plan in the house of God today. Be honored, be glorified. I pray blessing upon my friends today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Everyone said amen. I love you so much. Ladies, if you're going to go to the luncheon that Lori Huntington is doing on Friday upstairs, there's a sign up in the back. Make sure you hit that on your way out. God bless you. If you need prayer, you come on down. We want to pray for you. We want to declare blessing and help over your life today. Go with God in his grace.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. Tower of refuge and strength, let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship you.
bow to the Lord of the earth. Let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have.